Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
So I'm sure all of you have been watching the story develop, and you know, it's reminiscent of so many other buildings in the city of Johannesburg that have been going up in smoke, really. But yes, we have now another one. Four people who have died and three people injured and three people who are possibly unaccounted for. And this is obviously in the wake of an abandoned building in the city of Johannesburg. And yes, Robert Mlawuzi, spokesperson of JES, Johannesburg Emergency Services, has confirmed the fact that yes, it's one of those. They are still busy with investigation, so they don't really have much to tell us. But officials have been going to visit the site, and they've got some information for us. But I want to start here. We will speak to the MMC of Public Safety in a short while. He went for a site visit as well. But I want to speak to Marshalltown Justice Campaign Coordinator. We've spoken to him before, just to give us a true sense of what's actually going on. Mametlo Sibe, thank you so much, Mr. Sibe, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and to listeners of Kaiser.
You've been to the site. You have spoken to the residents. You've spoken to residents who were in another building that had burned not so long ago. Your take on what is happening here in Datesbe?
Well, just in so far as Gibbs Town, if that's what you're asking about, I mean, that there is really, it just shows 1 year after we've seen this building, nothing has been learned, nothing has been done about the 224 similar buildings as those as Uzindiso, where there is complete dilapidation, there is no safe water supply, safe electricity, and sanitation services. Many people are living in a pile of rubbish. In the case of Gibbs Town, you know, building which I just visited today, what is very clear is that it was just, you know, a shack inside buildings. And in a way that none of the services that, you know, make a decent, adequate housing contemplated by the Constitution was even considerable. Everybody obviously had, people had to improvise how they power themselves, how they connect, how they do. And that was always going to be a risk for disaster. In fact, in the report I just gave in the Marshall Tower for Justice Campaign, I said, the only thing that should be surprising us about this building, and I remember I know what happened at Uzindiso, that the only thing that would surprise about the Gibbs Town building, even by comparison to Uzindiso building, is how did this disaster not happen every day of our lives in the past years? Because that building is just at another level of degradation and squalor.
So, you know, as you're saying, everybody's been living in squalor, no real electrification, no real water, no sanitation, garbage, you know, shacks within the building. People that you've been speaking to on the ground, who owns this building? The city say they know who owns this building. They are not going to give us those names. But were you able to find out who owns the building? Who are they paying?
Not at all. We have not as yet been able to establish that. In fact, when I was there, there was people of City Power who could not even establish the stand number. There were two contingents of City Power delegations who are obviously investigating. They couldn't establish a stand number. They couldn't establish the meter number. So the idea that the city authorities will be aware about owners, I doubt very much. But here is the thing. I don't think the city should be allowed to give an alibi insofar as trying to abdicate responsibility by disclaiming ownership here. The reality is that many of those buildings in the inner city are owned by the state. So let's start there. Secondly, in any modern city anywhere in the world, if there's a building like that where there is no claim or obvious claim of ownership accompanied by responsibility over, you know, services over the bills for water and all those things and so on, state must be alarmed, state must intervene, right? And we cannot just criminalize the poor and not look at, one, what is the situation of these buildings, what compels them to stay in this kind of building. The issue is that we need to find a progressive and just solution to the overwhelming crisis of housing, which, as the disasters are reminding us, it's a life and death question. because these buildings are a death trap. But as we are focused on inner city buildings, where it's very easy for people to scapegoat migrants and so on, people are not discussing what happened at Samambilo at Rivoli a day before yesterday, where there was another tragedy. The unbanned migrants there is an old colored township that I worked in, and so on and so on. And the fire gutted about 36 shacks. It killed about 2 people, according to the report that I can see. Many were injured, and about 100 people were left homeless, right? And the reality is, even outside of the inner city of Johannesburg, many of the informal settlements are a permanent state of disaster, and that's the reason that we have argued as Mashatown for Justice campaign that the housing program, the mass public housing program, we demand to refurbish the buildings so that they become a decent accommodation and a decent housing within the inner city, and construction of a decent public housing to eradicate all the shacks and informal settlements in Johannesburg and across all the major urban centers in the country. It must be treated as an emergency program, and it must be an emergency public housing program, because this is a life and death question, as the disasters are reminding us. But it's not only these disasters, right? It's a question of floods that are happening regularly. It is a question of the horrific levels of violence, including gender-based violence. I mean, when you look at those buildings, and that's the fact that women are staying in those buildings, it just even makes my blood, like, I shiver at the thought of any woman staying in a building like that and what happens to them on a daily basis. So, right? It's just all these other factors that say these are death threats.
I want us to just remind everybody who's listening that there was an inquiry initiated by the Premier of Gauteng, and saying, you know, we need to get to the bottom of all these buildings, who owns them, and all of the works, the Gampepe inquiry. It kicked off okay, and the first release was in April 2024. We're now supposed to be in the second phase. That's not going very smoothly. Tell us why.
There are all sorts of delays and other things, and ourselves, where we are, we've been also, we had a meeting yesterday, you know, actually the day before yesterday, with a, you know, it was a mass meeting with the victims, the survivors, and the thing to say we need to rebuild the campaign because we haven't been getting the same amount of support for participation as we were getting before, but nonetheless, we'll be back insofar as regular pickets, and of course, demonstration to say, one, we want the seriousness of the municipality insofar as the second phase of the commission that looks into the state of the inner city buildings. We want the municipality to present that commission with a clear plan that has timelines about how are they going to refurbish all of those buildings. Because I think there's an issue here of a flagrant violation of rights of the poor.
So let's just talk about the fact that they now are taken to a similar area where the Usindiso fire victims were taken to, who are still there, who are yet to find out where their next home is going to come from. That in itself is also another crisis, because we keep sending people to these spaces where they're going to be there almost indefinitely. Ntisibe, are you still there? All right. I don't know what's happened to his line there. But he's on the line. We can certainly see his line, but I'm not sure what's happened. All right. We'll try and connect him back again. But as I was saying, you know, with the Ntatesibe, we are now faced with a situation where we have the people who were moved from the Usindiso building were taken to another location in the city of Johannesburg. I don't know if you remember that. We've spoken many, many times to NGOs who say that entire place is not meant to be a permanent home, because there are also conflicts with other residents around the area who are saying they've been waiting for homes. In fact, they have an induna from across another kind of, let's call it a hostel, for lack of a better word, that's what they're calling it, who says they are in charge of the residents now that have been put there. So it's just all, unfortunately, not looking good. My concern is, When are we going to now get to the bottom of this? We've got an inquiry underway, but the inquiry, we're told, has stalled because of some logistical issues. The city, they say, needs to deal with issues that came out of the first report because it was supposed to be happening in two phases. At some point, we need to get a handle on this, and at some point, we need to make sure that people do not find themselves living in these derelict buildings. That this way, let's see if you can hear me now. Can you hear me?
Okay.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes. I was saying to you, now you have a situation where the people who were moved from the Usindusa building have been moved to a location. You have now these residents joining them, and there is no telling when all of them will be moved to a permanent home.
Absolutely, you're right. But unfortunately, that's not even the worst problem we have.
Mm.
Right? If the emergency accommodation was decent enough to protect people against the elements and other things, we could live with that.
Yeah.
With all the problems of waiting for long. Yeah, the problem. Just look at the Denver settlement where the Usindusa victims or survivors were sent. That settlement was built in a basin. It has been hit by a flood almost every single month during the summer season because it's a basin where every expert that we engage warned that this is a trap of water in a case of heavy raining and condition for flooding. It means those people, their lives has just been a tragedy upon tragedy because what people don't understand is that when the shack is flooded, or a flooding in a shack, what does it mean? There are stories of elderly women and women with disabilities, I mean, women carrying children with disabilities on their back the whole night, standing. Can you imagine? Because your whole body is underwater. That is what life has been for the people in the so-called emergency settlement. And that does not even speak to the fact that many of the survivors are yet to be relocated, but also even those that have survived the fire. I was speaking to Comrade Mike. He asked that I speak about this story. He has not been able to tell his daughter. 12 months down the line, he identified, or his one of his families identified his daughter. He was in a coma for months. One of his families identified the daughter. Within a few days and so on, they took the samples. But when he woke up a few months, it was only his wife who was buried. His daughter cannot be found. The body can't be recovered. And the municipality can't be able to account what happened to it. That is the reality of the survivors.
So the story about some of the people who are probably unaccounted for in this current building now, have you heard any stories? Because it's also difficult. We don't really have the numbers of how many people were living in this building.
Yes, they are saying that they are unaccounted for. We are waiting for the, final outcome. I mean, when I was there during the day, there were some people that were saying, well, we went to work, we're here to fetch our things. So we hope, we hope for the best. That is to say, these are people who were not just there. I mean, one of the things that horrified me and ourselves in the group is that the very idea that a worker, somebody who is employed and is supposed to be paid, is staying in this horrific condition, speak to the conditions of the poverty of the black working class in this country. Whether you are unemployed and without income, or whether you are earning the appalling wages at work, this is the reality we've got to be able to confront about what wages are we paying our workers? What income are we providing to the unemployed? But also, how do we make sure that public services, which in 1994 were supposed to be a way to redistribute the wealth by making sure that there's public housing for everybody, there's a free basic water supply, a free basic electricity supply, sanitation for all, so that everybody is guaranteed certain quality of life compatible with the constitutional vision and idea of human dignity that we fought for in a struggle against apartheid. That we don't have these services, and they've been not conceptualized in the same way as it has been the story of the past 8 years. And in fact, the government of Nissan Unity says more privatization, more outsourcing, meaning rendering of housing solutions on the basis of a private market is not going to work. This is the reason that we are in this crisis. 3.7 million housing units in a housing backlog. 13% of the entire population in, of course, informal settlement. That is a clear scandal of the past 8 years of democracy.
So your take on the inquiry that has been going on, that has been lagging behind, the Kampepe inquiry. I mean, what are you hearing around the delays? Because I'm not sure that we are all on the same page about the delays.
Well, that's the thing. As well, I mean, we are supposed to meet the lawyer, but I have been, I must say to you, more preoccupied with the question of compensation as a follow-up on the first phase of the commission, because we do agree, as I think our statement has pointed out, from the meeting that we have resolved on launching a legal case, a class action, because we argue where there is legal responsibility, as Kampepe Commission report indicate, the responsibility for tragedy lies in the city of Johannesburg. It flagrantly violated its own bylaws, abdicated the responsibility, not equipped its emergency services to respond to the tragedy at its city, and therefore, there is responsibility. And we say, where there is responsibility in law, liability must follow. And that's what we are pursuing at the moment. Insofar as the second phase of the commission, to be honest, and it has just been postponement and other things, I struggle to keep up, except to say that we'll be meeting the lawyers during the course of this week, one, to discuss the issue of compensation, but also to understand where are we the second phase on our part. We are ready. We had a mass meeting 2 days ago, and the issue is to make sure that at the center of this commission and the conversation about what is the way forward are the voices of the most downtrodden black working class people whose lives are being destroyed with impunity, that they must be at the center of this conversation. And we say to them, they've got to organize, they've got to protest so that their voice is heard.
I've got a call on the line in Ntate Sibe, Sunny Boy, who's calling from Joburg. Sunny Boy, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. I know you love the comment there by you there. You know, I know you love what you call Otada Morero, but you know...
you know that's unfair.
I know that's unfair.
I've just spoken to Celia's Brink, right? And I'm sure people are going to say, we know you love Celia's Brink. You all do that. Yeah.
You know, bring that here so that
Dada, I will always Dada Morero didn't want to come in today because he says he has already apologized. I know a lot of you have
apologized. What?
He's apologized for the statements that he made over the weekend, and so that's that. But you know, we did ask. You know, I can't say we didn't ask.
Pamela, mm-hmm. Always I specifically tells you that ANC doesn't care about us, and then people were thinking maybe I'm turning up these things. So today, you heard it yourself from Dada Morero that no, the better job, they must go and hire foreigners. You know, come 2026, and then this is what you're going to see again. Another on call again.
So what did you want to call for, Nasani Boy? Did you want to speak?
I wanted to call because I know when you call him for interviews, he come quickly there by you.
Okay, so we're going to try again today.
Try it.
We're going to try again. I know many of you have been asking. Well, this is, I'm not sure that's for you, but I mean, your parting shot on all of this, because as we're sitting here, we have an incomplete story. You are saying you're concerned about other buildings as well. About 200, I say? Did you just say 224 buildings that are in the same condition?
And this is just from the official report of the city. There is arguably many more. But here is the issue that I think South Africans need to be focused on. When the ANC took over power in 1994, there was 1.5 million backlog, a backlog of 1.5 million houses. That backlog not only has not been resolved, it has more than doubled to 3.7. The privatized provision of housing that we have said is going to be the responsibility of the democratic government, instead that privatization has created a situation where an average housing property has risen in terms of value by 833%, which means overwhelming majority of the unemployed who are without income, workers, half of whom are on minimum wage of 40,600, will never be able to afford this housing. We need a mass public housing program to ensure that everybody has a decent accommodation that protects them from the elements, that can shelter them from disasters, that can be a means of providing basic services like electricity, water, and supply. And of course, we need to unite as a working class. We must campaign in a sustained mass national campaign that we are calling for, as much as transfer justice campaign. And to that end, we've been having conversations with communities of Tembe Nation, of Freedom Park, a number of them that are facing the similar situation of a permanent disaster in, of course, many settlements across Johannesburg, but also within the communities across the country.
Mr. Sibeyi, thank you so much for your time. Marshalltown, a justice campaign coordinator. On the line is also Joburg MMC for Public Safety, Dr. Mkunitso Aku. Thank you so much to MMC for making time for us. I know you had to squeeze us in. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Camilla. Good evening to your listeners.
MMC, I know that you also went to visit the building that was on fire. What was your take of what you actually saw?
No, look, the building is an abandoned building. It was an old warehouse, so occupied by people around 2015, 2016, around there. The people, they built in sheds inside, similar to the Osindiso scenario. So people have built a sheds and apartheid. And currently the investigation upon the direction that there was an illegal connection of electricity there, mm-hmm. so that must, you know, that caused a spark and all of that. But I've said in every interview, and also and when people are having problems with that building, the only thing that we need to do, I think MMC Mabaso, you should actually
of home settlement.
Oh, yeah, human settlement. Yes, is that. These bad buildings, as a public safety, we've got a list of them. We know where they are, and they are there. The only thing that, and also we remember last year when we launched the Operation Manje Namhlanje, mm-hmm. it was to, we managed to the CM went to court, said, look, this thing of eviction takes time, because how do you reconcile the fact that a building does not comply with the Fire Brigade Act, and people need to be evacuated, and also the court order of and that we must not evict among them. They must have an alternative accommodation. So they said to us, no, it's fine. What we can do is that we can evacuate. Now, what we are the problem we're having right now, and I think that the mayor spoke about it a bit, is the issue of transitional accommodation. We need to have that with immediate effect. Then the issue will be could be solved. I think that's what the mayor is going to be convening a sub-mayor right now, so that we can start practicing. That's the only way to deal with the dead building.
MMC, a transitional accommodation for 224 buildings, according to your own data. I mean, that's I'm not sure how possible that is. You've got a backlog of, anyway, residents in Johannesburg who do not have homes, let alone those who are sitting in those 224 buildings.
Yeah. No, it's an issue of the human, you know, settlement. They must unlock the money. The problem that the human settlement, they don't have money. They need the national government to come on board. Province, they must come on board, everyone. They must create that. That's the only thing that you can do there. There's a land parcels which are there. You can do some, you know, transitional accommodation. There are some transitional accommodation currently that are finished by the city, by the way.
Okay.
So human settlement must be in full speed and allocate people there so that people can move into the building. Especially out of those ones that you're talking about, they are critical ones, the ones that actually happen, where people, you can see this one is going to get bent anytime soon. You can start with that. We even rank them according to the highest risk. These are the highest risk. And then we can take our data down like that.
So where does your responsibility begin as public safety and end? Because, yes, you cannot evict them, but it's your responsibility to make sure that the building is safe. And I know it's a bit of a catch-22. So what then happens? Because we would then ask you, why are people occupying a building that's not safe because of health and safety standards? You are saying to us, well, the building should not be occupied in the first place. Human settlement must move the people. It's not moving the people, but we still look to you to make sure that the building is safe. Where does your responsibility begin and end?
Yeah, the one that I need to inspect all the building, check if they actually comply with the Fire Act. And then also, it's actually a multidisciplinary anyway, mm-hmm. because ourselves, we see that, hey, look, this thing here, we need to close it because it doesn't, like, it looks like there's a fire hazard. So we use our Fire Brigade Act. Because in a building, anyway, you need to have developmental planning come on board to check now. For example, that one is a warehouse. So a warehouse has been turned into a human, you know, settlement. So there's supposed to be zoning that needs to happen. If the zoning is not done, it must be closed. You need to have EMS must come on board, and so it's a multidisciplinary. But on our side, we write a report, we send it into the city, and then the CO, which is the chief operations officer of the city, must create a multidisciplinary approach in terms of, okay, we've got a report coming from the EMS public safety saying that building is a disaster waiting to happen. We need to evacuate. That's why the CM, in the absence of the coup, the CM was at the center. That's why he went to court and then get the evacuation orders. We're able to take some of the people out. Some of the buildings, we've done that. So we need to do more. That's why now the mayor is actually convening it's a sub-mural committee that consists of myself, the MMC of Committee of ComDev, MMC Unis Mugrina, and then MMC Umabaso. And in those meetings, everything that comes up is one, transitional accommodation. Can you just take the people out? That evacuation order now, it says that as long as you got a shelter with basic services, it's fine. Yeah, well.
Are you directly, apart from what the mayor will be doing, convening this multidisciplinary meeting, have you been speaking to MMC Mabaso?
Yeah. We communicate every time. I mean, even with Alex.
And?
They're pleased with it. They're pleased to check. I mean, they've through their efforts, they managed to get one of those transitional, smaller, I think the tent arrangement that's happening there, mm-hmm. just to get people temporarily. Yeah, they're involved. I mean, he was there with the mayor yesterday, but I was not around. I was doing the occasion, but I came back. So we're still going to be having a sub-mural committee. That sub-mural committee is going to coordinate all of us. Remember, we are the extension of the mayor. So the mayor is pulling all of us together. Guys, we got this from MMC Chwaku. And then MMC, we need to do ABC and D. So mayor and the CO and the CM going to be coordinating us. I heard we had a mayoral committee to today. So that's to adopt one of these IDP process plans. But he has indicated that before the end of the week, we need to now to kickstart again the sub-mayoral, of which we've been having. That sub-mayoral committee is dealing with the inner city, which is your Lilian Ngoyi, your bad buildings and the bylaws. So it has been dealing with that. So we're going to have that, but I feel that he says to us, I think in one of these interviews, and then when we're talking is that the national has that emergency fund that needs to be unlocked to create a transitional accommodation. That's what we need to, to tap at. Myself, as the public said, what we did last time, remember, we even gave our land for transitional accommodation. Hence, the people of Usimbiso were accommodated. So they did that temporary arrangement through the emergency fund that you find in a national. So we need to do that. Yes, but like, as I said, I did that. I was a cowboy here. I took people out there. I was nearly arrested because they said I'm in contempt of court. But you know, we're going to arrest you in the CM. Some lawyers came from Norway, and the apparently is the lawyers of those people who have hijacked the building. I said they must come out because the building is about to get, it's a disaster. It's supposed to be closed.
MMC, this is not new. We all know the NGOs that are organizing this. Yeah. So you need to make time, as well as MMC Mabaso, to try and convene with them and make them see the dangers of what's currently at stake here.
They know, Pamela. They know. We've been debating all the time. But even we went to court. It's okay. We agree to disagree now, but we have to move on. But what we need to move on is that us as the city now is that we must create a transitional accommodation and all these buildings which are very bad. That one is very bad. Mm-hmm. There is one next to it. Yeah? Well, so now you say that I can go there tomorrow and take them out. Keep in mind, that's what I told the mayor. I'm going to go there and show you some videos. The warehouse just next to it is the same thing. So we need to meet. Look, I think if you can put in the mayor in terms of that and MCO Mabaso
we'll certainly do that. Marshall Johannesburg MMC for Public Safety, I really appreciate your time. Dr. Mklini Tswaku.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.